Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someone say, praise the Lord. Someone say, God is good. Hallelujah. Well, maybe you have struggled this past time. Have you ever struggled with finding the right gift for the right person? Right? You know, what does this person want? I mean, this person has everything. What could I possibly get them that could make a difference? But I want to ask you that, you know, God definitely has everything. And what could you give to God that he doesn't have? We're following our theme for this month, and that is Emmanuel, God with us. And there are lots of things that we can give to God. And God has everything, literally. So what do you give him? Well, he's given us everything. He's given us life, right? He's given us salvation. He's given us joy. He gave you. You are created by him. He brought you into being, all right? So then what could we possibly give God that would touch his heart and bless him and cause him to be joyful? Well, we can give him our lives. We can give him our service, right? But today, I want to focus on something that we can give to God that he loves and that touches his heart, and that is our praise. I want to talk to you today about how God inhabits the praises of his people. There is something about praise that just touches God's heart. When we begin to praise the Lord out of a sincere heart and out of a pure heart, something happens in him, and he wants to manifest his presence and his glory. He wants to show forth his power in response to our praise. And, you know, I don't want the rocks to outdo you. Bible says, you know, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, and don't let the rocks cry out for you. All right? Praise is going to happen to God whether you're involved with it or not. But his presence is manifest where praise takes place. So I want to encourage you today to be a person that praises God in everything you do, wherever you are, wherever you may be. All right? We need to be able to praise God with our entire life. All right? On every level. So what is praise? I just want to read to you some definitions before we get into the word here. Praise, according to Nelson's dictionary, is an act of worship or acknowledgement by which the virtues or deeds of another are recognized and extolled. Do you recognize what God has done? Do you recognize how he has put this earth together? Do you recognize how well he made the human body? I mean, when you cut your finger, several days later, that cut disappears. Your body was actually made to heal itself. How incredible is that? How awesome is that? Everybody take a deep breath. Isn't it great that we don't have to think about breathing? Excuse me, air is just so there that we can just breathe in, most of the time anyway. And, you know, God doesn't charge us for anything. You know, I was disappointed when gas stations started charging for air. I mean, what is that? But praise is an act of worship. Are you guys ready to act today? To participate? Everybody in this place today has a part to play. Your part is to praise him. Your part is to lift up his name. Your part is to offer thanksgiving. Your part is to adore him. Your part is to worship him. Every one of us can worship God. If you can't speak, you can raise your hand. If you can't raise your hand, you can bat your eyebrows. There is something that you can do to praise the Lord. I want our praise to be unleashed today. That praise that's on the inside of you needs to come out like a roaring lion. After all, he is the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Praise. Hallelujah. And also, praise is an acknowledgement made of the excellency or perfection of any person or action. Our God is perfect. And he has created us to praise him. He desires us to praise him. He has given you the ability. People, we have a desire within us to praise, and too many people are praising the wrong thing or the wrong person. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Hallelujah. We have come to praise the Lord. I mean, everyone in the Christmas story had something to praise about. Amen. It's a story full of praise. But in Psalm 22, and verse 3, King James says, "But you are holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." Isn't that awesome? He is holy who inhabits the praises. What does it mean to inhabit? It means to dwell. When we start praising God, his presence literally comes to dwell where we are. Where praise goes forth, we connect with God with our praise, through our praise. Our praise is essence, the plug that we plug into to tap into the power that's available to us. Praise is an awesome thing. Praise is like the highest form of prayer. All right? Praise is, and sometimes it's so hard to express how we feel about God. But I want to encourage you today to express yourself. You can express how good God is, how awesome God is, how wonderful he is, how marvelous are his works, how great are his deeds. I tell you what, we have something to praise about. Our God made it possible for us to find our purpose and to find our place in heaven. He made it so that we don't have to wander through earth. But you have to praise him. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. God is just simply, sometimes you wonder why God hasn't moved, and he's wondering why haven't you praised. Did you know that sometimes you got to do the praising when you don't feel like it, when things aren't working right? That's when you need to praise the most. Because God hasn't changed. He doesn't have a good day and a bad day. All God's days are good. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That means his robe. You know, it's kind of like when a bride walks down the aisle and her train just kind of lags behind her and it fills the void. It fills the space. Well, his robe, his train wants to fill the temple. And we're going to find out that it's good news because you and I are the temple. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Above it, the throne, stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. In the presence of the throne room of heaven, there is constant praise that is going forth, saying how holy God is, how good God is. The angels are flying around the throne, and every time they look at him, they see a different facet of God. They see another goodness of God. They see another part of God, and they can't help but praise him. They can't help but cry out and say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And notice his presence, his glory fills the whole earth. I'll tell you what, God wants to fill us today. God wants to touch us today. God wants to do something in you today, but it's going to require your participation. You cannot sit there today and say, God, make my day. If you have that kind of attitude, God will pass you by. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is a type and a shadow of what God wants to do in us. This is when they had finished building the temple. Solomon had finished building the temple, and they were having a dedication of the temple. And they had brought the Ark of the Covenant in that represented God's presence. And notice verse 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. Did you know that we are a royal priesthood? A holy nation? A peculiar people? And we're called forth to show his praises. And for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not and then wait by course. Verse 12, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, representing righteousness and holiness and purity, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Does that sound like it's silent? No. Verse 13, and it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Let me tell you, it's important to be unified together in worship and praise. When they sounded as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. I just want you to, I'm connecting here what happens when we praise and how it touches God's heart. Now notice, they were praising and thanking the Lord, and this large group sounded as one. All right? For he is, they were saying, for he is good, all right? They're extolling his goodness, how good God is. What are some of the things, the good things that God has done? Listen, if you can't think of anything, he's given you life. He's kept you thus far. Then, everybody say then. This was after the praise. This was right when they, in the middle of the song, they were singing and praising. They were caught up. It sounded beautiful. It sounded one. It sounded like a symphony. And the Holy Spirit, he's the conductor, and he was conducting. Then The house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Listen, God said, boy, this sounds good. This makes me feel good, and I want to inhabit their praises, and his very presence came down to dwell in the house, and the priest couldn't even stand. You know, sometimes when the presence of God comes into a place, we cannot stand. We lose our ability to do regular physical things sometimes in the presence of the Lord. Well, you know, electricity will make you do different things, right? When electricity gets a hold of you, you don't know how you're going to react, but you will react. See, you don't know what you're going to do when the power of God, when the presence of God comes on you, but you will do something, I guarantee it. Something's got to give, and it's not going to be the power of God. But it was in this atmosphere of praise. They were singing. They were playing instruments, and all of them together were lifting their voice. They were doing what they could do, and that caused God's presence to come down into that house. It was such a manifestation of God's presence that the priests couldn't do what they needed to do. Amen? I would like a service that God is welcome to interrupt any service at any time, and I don't have to do what I need to do. I'll just let God do it. Amen? But you know what? It was tied directly to their praise. Everybody say, my praise. So you need to be a person that participates with God in praise. And you know what? Praise is not just for church time. Praise is how you live. Praise is how you treat people. Praise is how you love people. Amen? God is love. And if you want to praise him, you better walk in love. Because if you don't walk in love, you can't operate in faith. Because faith works by love. You see, praise is not just something you do on a Sunday. Praise is how you live. Praise is what you do day in and day out. Praise is something that needs to be a part of your every life. It needs to be a part of every part of your life. You need to allow God to infiltrate every area. Praise him when you wake up. Listen. If you want to keep a marriage alive, tell each other that you love each other every day. Oh, she knows it. No, she needs to hear it. Amen. You need to verbalize it. You need to show it. Otherwise, you're unbelievable. You can't be believed if you're not saying it or doing it. Band-Aids will be passed out later. Listen, praise needs to be a part. It needs to come out of every level, every area. You have got to. Praise is something that you do and you say. Amen? It requires your soul, your mind, your body, all together. Praise. Go with me to Psalm 95. You know, God is so into praise that he wrote a book with 150 chapters on the subject. Yeah. You don't tell me that God's not into praise. You know, I began writing just scriptures that just from the Psalms about praise. And I don't know, there was like close to 300 or 400 scriptures just on that. Psalm 95. Listen, when you participate in praise, God's presence will participate with you and your needs. When you meet his needs, he'll meet your needs, because he's already sent his son. He's already done everything he needs to do for us to have eternal life, for us to have the God kind of life, the Zoe life, the rich, full, wonderful life. You talk about it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life when God is your Savior, when Jesus is your Lord, when he is your King, when you're serving him with your whole heart and your whole mind and all your strength. That's when it's a wonderful life. Problem that people don't have a wonderful life is because God's not in the equations. What would it be like if God was not in my life? It'd be a mess. Just think about the mess that you came out of. We all came out of a mess. I don't want to go back to that mess. I probably wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the Lord. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. For those of us that can't sing, he said you can make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. See, you don't have to be a good singer to praise the Lord. Well, I can't sing like, you know, I thought when I was in college, I began to question whether or not I was called because it seemed like every preacher could sing. And I'm thinking, Lord, have you called me? I mean, I can carry a tune, I just can't carry it too far. And I thought, God, am I called? I mean, I can't sing, you know. But listen, you can make a joyful noise. That's good news for me. To the rock of our salvation, let us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving, which is part of praise, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. If you need something to praise about, just read a psalm. And that'll get you going. But see, we're supposed to come before his presence in an atmosphere and an attitude of praise, thanksgiving, worship, adoration, exaltation. And you're supposed to be singing unto him, worshiping him. When you worship and praise, don't worry about the person to your left or the person to your right or the person behind you, the person in front of you. You focus in on the Lord. You praise him. And he will manifest his presence. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. Just to let you know that praise is not just an Old Testament thing. Amen? It's a Bible thing. Glory to God. Romans chapter 15. And let's go to verse 4. And he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. You know, that's how unity of praise comes, when we're all like-minded to Christ Jesus. When we all are thinking of praising him and thinking of lifting him up. Amen. When we're unified together of magnifying the Lord. You know, when you magnify something, you make it bigger. A magnifying glass makes things that are small much bigger so that they can be seen by more than just one person. See, when you begin to magnify God through your praise, he'll be seen in your life in a much greater way. He'll be magnified, literally. And then notice what it says in verse 6. That you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, God received you to his glory. And the Amplified even says that in a greater way. But the word glorify means to honor, which is part of praise. See, your praise needs to honor the Lord. It needs to show reverence to God. Amen? It's hard to praise God when you're not walking with him, when you don't have a relationship with him. Amen? Because the closer you get to God, the more you want to praise him. Your relationship with God, your walk with God sparks something on the inside of you that you just can't keep silent. You want to praise Him. You want to serve Him. You want to love Him. You want to do His will. And the closer you get to God, the greater desire for the things of God come into your life. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want you to see something here. And let's look at verse 20. And it said, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. So I want you to get this picture. He gets off the boat, and, you know, he had such a following that there was this great crowd of people that immediately began to come near to him and to follow him because of all the marvels that were done. All right? Verse 22, and behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. What do you think he did while he was at his feet? He began to worship him. He began to praise him. See, normally, when you're in the presence of a great king, there, you know, you will want to bow, and, you know, only Jesus should be worthy of worship. All right? No other person is as worthy to worship as Jesus. But isn't it interesting? You know, prior to this, Jesus had gotten a possessed man delivered. And this possessed man lived in the same area, the area of Decapolis. It must have been about 10 cities. And he wanted to go with Jesus because Jesus touched his life. He said, no, I want you to stay here, tell your story. He had to go tell it on the mountain. And it was probably the testimony of the possessed man that this Jairus heard that caused him to have faith and come to Jesus. But I want you to see that the very first thing he did was he besought him greatly. There was a burning desire to come before him. There was a desire to get into his presence. And the first thing that he did is he fell at his feet, okay? Then he began to tell him, he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come. Everybody say, come. When you invite someone to come with you, would their presence go with you? Absolutely. All right? He gave Jesus an invitation to come with him because he was suffering from a traumatic event. His daughter was near the point of death. And I want you to notice, he didn't spend his time crying. He didn't spend his time crazy or whining, but he came to seek Jesus so that he could worship him, so that he could get his presence to come with him. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And notice what he said, she shall live. What was Jesus's response in verse 24? He went with him. I propose to you today that Jesus went with him because Jairus was a man of praise. He was a man who wasn't ashamed or afraid to worship. You're talking about a man of the synagogue coming down before Jesus and bowing in front of everybody. Well, he didn't care what people thought. All his focus was on was Jesus, because he needed God's presence to touch his daughter. And Jesus went with him directly based on his praise. Because there was a crowd of people. How come Jesus didn't volunteer to go to everyone else? Because there was only him that was praising him. Apparently, I mean, I don't know. There might have been other people praising him, but maybe they didn't really have a problem like he had. But it was directly related to his praise that Jesus was willing to go with him. The presence of God was willing to go with Jairus because God inhabits the praises of his people. See, when you start praising God, you create an atmosphere where miracles can occur. See, it is in the atmosphere of praise. See, praise sets the temperature of, praise is like a thermostat. If you want to turn the heat on the devil, begin to praise. Amen? Because the devil cannot stand. The devil was kicked out of the presence of God. He does not worship God. He wanted to worship himself. He wants all the worship to himself. But when you begin to worship God, the devil says, I'm out of here. So if you feel like you're being taunted or tormented by the devil, you need to open up your mouth. You need to lift up your hands. You need to get on your knees. You need to do whatever you need to do to praise the Lord. And God's presence will go with you. You see how willing Jesus was. He didn't say, well, let me think about it. Let me check my schedule. I'll get back with you. No. Because Jairus didn't waste time to praise. Now, just as God's presence filled Solomon's temple, which is really a type and a shadow of you and I, because you and I are God's temple. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You notice Jairus didn't say what was going on here. He didn't stop to chit-chat with people. He just got in before the Lord and began to praise. Imagine what the people felt like, the other people who were with Jesus. What's this guy doing? Who does he think he is? Listen, you've got to take the mindset of Jairus, that you're here today to get something from God, to have him work in your life, and it's going to require your praise. Your praise is the key to his miracle working power. Now, there are other times when God will just sovereignly and supernaturally manifest himself where we don't really have anything to do with it. He just comes in, but most of the time, he wants you to praise him. Most of the time, we fall short in our praise because we're not living a lifestyle of praise. We're not practicing the presence of God daily. Let me just take a little side note here before we go on to 1 Corinthians. You know, Moses built a tabernacle. It was called the Tent of Meeting. That was where he met with God. How many know how often Moses went out to that tent to meet with God? Anybody know? Daily. Everybody say daily. Every day, whether Moses felt like it or whether he didn't, he would get up, he would get dressed, and he would go out to the tent of meeting. Now, this tent of meeting was outside the camp, so he probably had to walk. It probably wasn't right there. He didn't have a golf cart, don't know if he took a donkey, it didn't say that he only went there when it was sunny or good weather. He went there every day. Amen? Every day, you need to get in God's presence, and the way to do that is through praise. And in that place, in that tabernacle, when Moses went in there, everybody saw the glory of God come down on that tabernacle. They physically saw the cloud descending. And Moses, the Bible says that God spoke with Moses as a man spoke to his friend. See, when you become a praising person, you become a friend of God. Because praise touches his heart. I can't explain the kind of reaction that praise has to God, but I guarantee you it has a reaction. And let's look at verse 16. And Paul asks this in a surprising way. Know ye not, he's talking to the Corinthians, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do we really realize that we are God's temple and that his Spirit dwells in us? If we would really realize that, how would that change our behavior? How would that change our outlook? Listen, husbands and wives, if you realize that God is the author and the creator of marriage, and you invite him into your marriage, how wonderful will your marriage be with God's presence? Oh, it'll be glorious. It'll be wonderful. You know, when Fiona saw something in me that she didn't like, or that I did something that I didn't know that I did, but it affected her in a negative way, you know what she did? She would pray. She would invite God into that place. And you know what? I would come home not knowing what she was thinking, and I would apologize for the very thing that she prayed for. See, when you invite God into your marriage, that's how to have a glorious marriage. And I'll tell you what, when God is in your marriage, woo! Listen, husbands and wives, if you want the wow factor in your marriage, you better invite God's presence. Listen, I can't go into detail, but I'm telling you, it'll be like fine wine. You know, it gets better over time. God wants your marriage to get better and better, not duller and duller. He wants you to get closer and further and further. Let's move on. I'm just telling you. When you and a husband and a wife start praising the Lord together and separate. You need your individual relationship with the Lord, and you need your together relationship with the Lord. It'll be the glory factor. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. He's talking about each one of us that God brings to his body. He fits you in the right place. You know, you are not a square peg in a round hole. God will put you in the right place so that we can grow together as a building for his presence. All right, that's awesome. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God built you like a donut. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? You're calling me a donut? Yeah, we're all like a donut. We have a void within us that can only be filled with the goodness of God. You don't need a jelly donut. You need a God donut, a Jesus donut, and a Holy Ghost donut. Let them be the filling of your donut. You're built for God to dwell on the inside. God is very comfortable dwelling on the inside of you. The question is, are we comfortable with him dwelling on the inside of us? Did you know that when God is in you, God things will come out of you? God words will, you'll speak, when God is in you, you'll speak God's words. When God is in you, his strength is in you. Amen? What is the strength of God? It is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And see, sometimes the devil just wants to take your joy. He'll try to steal your joy. When you feel your joy slipping away, you need to spend some more time praising. That means your praise level has gotten low. Because when your praise level is high, your joy is high. You can't praise God without him, without joy bubbling up on the inside of you. You know, if you have to start from A and go through to Z and think of things or qualities or characteristics about God, like he's the Almighty. Amen? He's beside me. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen. I can call upon him. When you start reciting that, I guarantee you, by the time you get to Z, you're going to be excited. But you are God's temple. You're his spiritual house. And just like the natural physical temple, he wants to fill you. When you turn the faucet of praise on, he'll fill your sink with his love and his power and his goodness and his grace and his miracles. And you know what? When that sink overflows, it's not going to create a mess. It's going to create something. It's going to solve problems. Amen. Sometimes we need to let the sink overflow. We need to turn the praise faucet on and let it overflow. We need to have more than enough praise. Well, I praised for 5 minutes today. Really, you think 5 minutes of praising is going to do it? Maybe. It might require more. Don't put a time limit on your praise. Okay, God, I've given you my 10-minute devotion. Now, if that's all the time that you have, I'm sure that if you give God that 10 minutes, I'm sure that further along in your day, he'll redeem the time. Amen? When you give God your time, he'll make things work out so that you have more time. Yes. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If we are God's temple, and we are, and if we are God's house, you know, how many live in an unfurnished house? Is there anybody here that lives in an unfurnished house? You have no furniture whatsoever. No? See, each one of us like to fill our houses with practical things that we can use, right? It's good to have a house that you have a bed that you can sleep on. You know, I know one time in my house when I was at Bible school, wasn't married yet, I only had a cot, a folding table, 2 folding chairs. But I had something. Amen? And, you know, God is in the business of filling his house too. He likes to furnish his house with grace, with beauty. He'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. He'll give you peace that passes understanding. Listen, I'm going through a rough time. I don't know how all this is, you know, but I don't know how I can be at peace. I do, because God gives you peace and it passes understanding. You don't have to understand his peace to have his peace. Isn't that awesome? Acts chapter 2, verse 2. What were they doing together? They were, according to verse 14 of chapter 1, they were in one accord, in prayer and supplication with the women, and they were praising and they were praying, all right? And praise is a form of prayer, so if you're praying, that's part of praising too. And so they were all together in one accord. Notice what happened. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and what did it do? it filled the house where they were sitting. It filled the atmosphere before it filled them. Then when they were in the atmosphere, they got filled too. And as a result of their filling, they began to speak in languages that they didn't learn, that they didn't study. Amen? But is that in connection with prayer? Because they were gathered, there was 120. Similar to the praisers in the Temple of Solomon, 120. They were together. They were focused. They were seeking the Lord. And what happened? He filled the house. And we're God's house, and he wants to fill us. And he fills us through praise. Praise is the way that he gets his power to you. Praise. Isn't it awesome how God made it so simple to have his power? And that's just if we simply praise. If we simply, you know, the Bible talks about raising our hands, opening our mouth, using our lips, kneeling, shouting, being joyful, rejoicing, dancing. You know, he gave us so many ways that we could praise him. We are not without a way or a means to praise him, but we need to participate. We need to do it. Amen? You can't just hear a message about praise and go, well, that's a good message. Wish the power of God would come on me. Yeah. Open your mouth. Praise him and see what happens. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Once again, they were together, and let's go to verse 24. Well, verse 23, Peter and John were let go. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, everybody say they. What did they do? They lifted up their voice. Notice their voice, one voice, to God with one accord and said, everybody say they said. So they're using their mouths. They're saying words, okay? You are God, which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is. They began to declare some things that God has done. That's part of praise. They began to acknowledge that God is above all. They began to magnify God. They began to exalt God. They began to lift God up. Now let's go down to verse 31. When they prayed, the place, everybody say the place, was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Here we see another example of a group of people that came together. Something bad happened to them. How would you like to be thrown in jail for getting someone healed? What are the charges against you? They got someone healed. Lock them up. Put them in prison. They're a bad person. I mean, they were put in prison for a short time because they did the will of God. And they could have whined and complained, but instead they decided to praise. They came back. They told what happened and what was said, and immediately they began to praise. And in their praise, God said, ooh, I like what's going on there. I want to join the party. And he came and he shook the place where they were. Then all of them in the place were also filled. They got a shaking too. The house shook and the house shook. Because let me tell you, when you get filled with God, you might shake. I remember when the Lord came into my life, when I met the Lord for the first time, I shook. I had my hands raised and I felt the presence. I felt just something go whoom like that. Just like boom, it went like inside me. And my hands were up and my hands began to shake like this and I ended up on the floor. Listen, sometimes God's got to loosen some things up in the house so that he can move some things in. Sometimes there's got to be a shaking. You know, when you move some furniture in your house, you might have to take off a door. You might have to expand something. You might have to carry it a different way in order to get what you need in that place. And sometimes God needs to shake up his house so that he can get things in that he needs to be in. Amen. I call it spiritual anesthesiology, that God will knock you out so that he can operate on you, so that he can do a work on you. Yeah, I remember Pastor Fiona was in college. We were not married yet, but we were part of this same group. And we would have services every Thursday night. And I'll tell you what, God was doing something on that campus. And she came in, she was wearing this nice two-piece business suit, you know, green, very nice. And yeah. Funny the details you remember. And the Holy Ghost hit her, and she spent probably a good hour plus on the floor. Now, she could hear everything that was going on, but she could not move because God was doing something in her house. God was moving some things in her house. God was putting some things on the inside that I'm sure he's used since then. But you know what? She's a praiser. See, Psalm 34 says, his praise shall continually, everybody say continually, be in my mouth. That doesn't mean you always have to go around, you know, when you're working, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You can do it. Praise the Lord. You know, you can think, you can meditate. You know, you don't always have to, depending on where you are, there's ways to do it, amen, and still have God's presence. Let's go, you ready for another example? Let's go to Acts chapter 16. See, remember, God inhabits the praises. He could have said he inhabits anything else, but he said he inhabits the praises of his people. Be a people of praise, and God will inhabit you. Amen. Praise just kind of activates the atmosphere. And in Acts chapter 16, and let's go down to verse 25. Some of us know this story. And at midnight, everybody say midnight. Now let me ask you this question. You know, not every one of us like to stay up late. Some like to get up early, some go to bed early. But you know, it was midnight. And it wasn't the best time because Paul and Silas had been beaten, bruised, chained, sent into a dungeon for casting out a devil. You talk about having a bad day. Yeah, Paul and Silas say, yeah, we went to work today, got someone delivered, and got in prison for it. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, obviously, they weren't silent. Paul and Silas were not having a silent prayer meeting. If the prisoners heard them, you know, Your voice would have to been elevated a little bit. Some volume would have had to been turned up a little bit. Notice they were praying and sang praises unto God. Prisoners heard them suddenly. You know, if you're the quicker you are to praise, the quicker God is to move. You want to suddenly, then start praising suddenly. Praise Him when you don't feel like it. Praise Him when things aren't going right. Praise Him when your world has been turned upside down. Praise Him. They had nothing else to do at midnight. I'm sure that the sleeping conditions weren't too good. I'm sure the atmosphere didn't smell really good. There was no light. They were in darkness. Makes us wonder sometimes, well, if the conditions are right, then I'll praise you. But if the conditions aren't right, I ain't gonna praise you. What do the conditions have to do with you praising the Lord? It doesn't matter if the singers are off key. There is no excuse for not praising the Lord. I don't care what excuse you give me. There is no excuse for not praising the Lord. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. God was saying, "Woo, I like that coming out of Philippi in that jail. Let me go down and join the party." Paul and Silas, they had the jailhouse rock, man. They were singing and praising God. They were probably, you know, God was probably going, "Woo!" And when he started tapping his foot, that's it. The jail was shaking. Praise caused his presence to come in a prison. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and I don't have time, but the Bible says that in heaven they sang so loud that the foundations of the building shook. Why? Well, I don't go to that church. They're a loud church. Well, you better get, if you don't like a loud church, you're not going to like heaven. If they're singing that the foundations are shaken, and immediately, everybody say immediately. All the doors were opened. Not just theirs, but every prisoner that heard them praising the Lord. See, your praise, when it begins to come out, it will overflow onto others. Amen? Praise is like a shook up bottle of soda. When you take that lid off, don't be 5 feet within me, because it's going to get on you. Your praise needs to get on some people. Amen? You might be the very spark that gets them out of their seat and gets them to praising God. Let the praise flow. Don't hold back. Don't hold it in. Let it go. And everyone's bands were loosed. All because they praised at midnight. When they didn't feel like it, it was direct correlation to their praise. God came down and he took his keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he unlocked every prison door, every chain. They just fell off. See, when you have a party with God, chains fall off. Listen, there should no one leave here today with a chain on you. There should no one remain in the prison today, because when your praise goes forth, he opens up all the prison doors. Amen? I can't praise for you. You can't praise for me. You just do what you can do. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, everybody else was sleeping, except for Paul and Silas and the other prisoners. Seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. They were so freaked out about their chains falling off when the doors opened, they said, "I ain't moving." Sometimes the presence of God will cause you to stay in a place. It'll cause you to be still and know that he is God. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." How did Paul know that everyone was there? Huh? Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. So praise causes God to fill out. Go with me to Romans 12. And then we're going to close. Romans 12. Verse 1. I beseech you. I beg you. I implore you. Everybody say you, me. He's talking to you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, if it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd be in a mess, that you present your bodies, which is a temple, a living sacrifice. You're supposed to be alive, not dead. You're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Well, I don't feel like doing that. I'm not led to do that. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. You're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Everybody say reasonable. God never asks you to do anything unreasonable. It might be out there, but it's not unreasonable. It's amplified, says it's your spiritual act of worship to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Does God accept everything you do with your body? You better find out what's acceptable and what's not acceptable to Him. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that's how you live, that is praising God every day. It is your act of worship. It is your reasonable service. It is what God wants us to do. And He'll inhabit your praise, your lifestyle. How many want God to manifest Himself in your life? When you're on the job, when someone needs healing, and they don't know where to turn, they're in pain, they can turn to a believer that God placed there to be a light in a dark place. You're supposed to be a light where you work. Stop complaining about where you work and who you work for and start being a light. Start praising Him with how you live. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let everyone else around you see the living sacrifice. That's part of our worship. That's part of praise. Present your bodies. Don't present someone else's body. I want to present my brother to you. No, you present yourself. Everyone work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You, listen. If no one else is praising God, you praise Him. If no one else is doing what they're supposed to do, you do what you're supposed to do. What I'm telling you is, don't base your praise on anyone else but you. You're responsible for your own praise. And if you're not praising God like you should, then start praising Him like you should. Don't make excuses as to why you're not praising Him like you should. Don't make excuses as to why you're not free. Don't make just break out of that. Listen, if you're free, act like it. Praise will set you free. Praise moves in the atmosphere. Praise allows God to be God, allows Him to do great and mighty things. Amen. So I think right now, all that's left to be done is to praise the Lord. and he will inhabit your praise. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Hallelujah. If you want to stand up, you can stand up. If you want to shout, you can shout. If you feel like dancing, dance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're here to praise the Lord. Father, we want you to inhabit our praises. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We say how good God is, how great you are, how wonderful you are, how awesome you are in this place, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your power is being manifested in the name of Jesus. We bless the Lord. We sing praises to our God. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Lord God. We magnify you. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he is good and greatly to be praised. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. No holds barred worship in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever.